You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
This episode of Wicked Horror Show, just like all the others, was broadcasted live to Facebook. In this episode, we're joined by two very special guests, director Brendan Steer and actor Gregory James Cohan. You may be asking yourself, what movie, like, are these people involved with? There's a movie that has been on our radar for a little bit called VelociPastor. Yes, VelociPastor. And it was surprisingly a very good time. You know what else is surprisingly a very good time? Going over to thedorkening.com to check out all of the shows that are on the Dorkening Podcast Network. Go subscribe, rate, like, do whatever you need to do. Leave comments, review, give me $5. You know how it is. And as always, if you like what you hear, head over to The Dorkening on Facebook every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a live show just like this one, where you can interact with our guests through the chat room. It's a good time. I just mentioned good time again. Hooray. Enjoy the show.
Okay, with us today, we have the director of VelociPastor, Brendan Steer.
Hello.
And the VelociPastor himself, Gregory James Cohan. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
It's something that we've had on our radar for a while. Like, it's literally, the name has been floating around between us for a while. And it's always kind of like one of those things you're like, oh, geez, what is this? You know, like, I really didn't know what to expect. And I hadn't watched the trailer. So I was kind of like, oh, what am I getting myself into? And then legit within the opening scene, I was like, all right, I think I'm in for a good time.
Yeah.
So that's a plus, you know, like, so what you're not necessarily known for this kind of movie, correct?
No. The only other feature I've done was a really dark and intense horror film with very little humor. It's actually pretty bleak. And I did a short drama that got around on some festivals. And that's basically it that I've done besides VelociPastor. So I somewhere in the cross section of those three is actually me, but like, no, certainly looking at my past work, you wouldn't sort of expect it.
And one of the things, like, I know that there was a few people that I like recognized from other things going through, but Wolfie was like, he was like, I know this actress from somewhere, and he ended up having your other movie.
Yeah, it was just kind of funny. It's like Kevin's like, okay, within the first few minutes, I'm like, I know I'm into it. I wasn't quite into it right away, and then I saw your name, and I was like, okay, I know the name. I don't know why I know the name, but I know the name. And then I saw Alyssa, and I'm like, I know her. What? So, like I said, I paused the movie. I go downstairs to the Doom Room, and I just have this crazy collection. It's like Kevin's, you know.
Times like three.
And I'm like, I know what the cover looks like in my head, but I couldn't think of the title. And so I'm just kind of like, I'm like, okay, fine. We got to start in the A's. About 30 movies in, I got this. Animosity. And I just love this. I picked this up, and I remember just thinking that this was one of the coolest backwards movies. I say backwards, not back. It's hard to describe.
Yeah. You know,
that's the bad thing about it.
No, I completely agree. Like, I made the fucking thing, and the thing is that the problem is that it's an impossible movie to pitch, because if you pitch Animosity correctly, you've ruined the first 45 minutes of Animosity.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So it's funny, because one of the things I wanted to do with VelociPastor was to make a movie that was easier to pitch, where it's essentially what's up in the air with it. You essentially know what it is from the title. What's up in the air is the tone. Like, is it gonna be like something like very Piranha 3D, or is it gonna be something very, you know, the room, like, what is it? And right. that the trailer answers. So it is funny because, Wolfie, I had the same problem for like a year and a half whenever I had to try and pitch it to people. And I just realized it was very, very tough to do so without being like, trust me, it's good.
It's good.
I'm stoked you own a copy, by the way. Thank you for having me.
Well, the cool thing is that the minute Alyssa showed up, I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, I found the other movie. I'm like, okay, I know who this director is. I trust him. I'm in for the win, you know. Perfect. So it wasn't until she showed up. Nothing against you, Greg, but I just didn't, you know, I recognized her.
No, I mean, that being said, though, like one of the things that I wanted to bring up is because it's a pretty wacky movie. I mean, it's got really good acting in it. That's the thing.
It almost feels like a weird Power Rangers type thing.
All right, but Greg, how would you like? I mean, I don't know how much comedy you've done in the past or whatever, but seeing the situations that are in the movie, how difficult would it be, like, as an actor to like really? Because you come across as very serious in a lot of the scenes, but they're kind of ridiculous at the same time. Oh, yeah. in a good way. How much of a chore was that for you, like to actually be like, okay, so I'm turning into a dinosaur. I need to, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't have been able to do it.
I wouldn't call it a chore at all. I mean, it was more of like a 6-course meal, man. We were really got to dive in and like get our hands dirty. It was a blast right from the start. So I've done a bit of comedy. Just in terms of like improv, live improv shows. And, you know, I've done some comedic web series and some comedic films where I get to like, you know, kind of play with that. But, you know, just in my acting career, I kind of get dubbed as like the serious guy. And I don't get to really like chew on some of those comedic roles all that much as I'd like to. So this was like a real treat for me. And just from the audition, I got to, I knew it. I knew what it was. I was like, oh man, this is going to be a fucking blast. Like getting to play this in the audition. So yeah, we had a really, and working with Brendan, we had a really nice dialogue going right from the start, you know, in terms of tone. And we had some things to go off of, some inspiration. We had a shared document that was called the Doug Bible, if you will. And it was fun from the start.
Yeah. And that Doug Bible was more intense than you'd expect. It was like 8 or 9 pages of us going back and forth being like, all right, like there's moments where you have to be a bad actor and there's moments where you have to play a bad actor trying to be a good actor. And that's separate from the moments in the movie we're going to need you to actually be a good actor. But it was really, if there was really honestly a challenge about this movie, I think it was that it was finding that tone and keeping it consistent enough that it didn't feel like we were cheating, either the characters or the conceit of the movie, that it is in fact a bad movie. So
that's actually one thing I was thinking too. I'm like, pretty much the first scene, like with the whole parents thing, whole like text, I'm not going to ruin it for anyone who hasn't seen it, but right away I'm like, okay, so this is on purpose. And so that's the thing is, like, I'm sure there's going to be people out there that are like, wow, these people just don't know what they're doing. Like,
yep, that was my fear, like genuinely. Is that I was like
the stuff that was there, I'm like, this is obvious. Like there's scenes where you're screaming and there's like an overdub of you screaming from an earlier cut at the same time, and it just keeps going. I'm like, that was on purpose. Like,
But was it there from conception? I mean, when you came up with the idea, you're like, okay, I want to make a movie, Velocipastor. Was it like, hey, let's make it as cheesy and as fun as we can, or let me just write this and see how it comes out?
You know, it's funny because actually, it took a while to get there. Like, I did an initial trailer for this way back in 2011, pre-Animosity, pre-everything. And with a totally different cast, it was a second year film school project. And like, I just did it to do it for a class. And it was fun. It was cool. It lives on the internet. But like, it just stuck in my head because it got up to that point in time, it was my most successful thing. Like when all the other videos on my YouTube channel had like 110 views, like the VelociPastor trailer had like 50,000. So like to me, I was just like, holy shit, this might be a thing, you know? I didn't know it was going to take me 5 more years to write it because it sounds like the easiest movie to write in the world. And like, I felt that way going into it. And every draft I did turned into like this weird, like serious examination of like, it was a lot of me, film school student me, being like, but what am I saying about the Catholic Church? And like, it doesn't matter. Like it was in like 2015, I think, finally, I cracked it. And that was, I don't give a shit what I'm saying. I want this to be fun. Like this, the entire point is that this is fun. And so the draft we ended up using for the film, I think I wrote in like 4 days. And that was after like 6 or 7 reboots of it from outline and conception that started back in 2011. And it took me like 4 or 5 years to literally just get out of my own head and be like, maybe I just want to put ninjas in a movie. and that's okay. And that's just as valid as, you know, a serious examination of something deeper. So not from initial conception, but once we had that draft, I was pretty much, I knew what the tone was from there on out. And it was just a matter of balancing it, really, because it's very easy for that to just slip into. I had like a lot of, I put for like an entire year of my life, all I thought about was how bad is just bad. Like how bad can we push the bad movie of this before it is just poorly made and not fun? Right. There's a shocking amount of thought that we all put into every dumb moment of this movie.
Was there a lot? I mean, I don't know if you're the kind of person who wants to follow the script like to a T. Was there a lot of improv on set or?
Greg?
There was a little bit. We rehearsed a few of the scenes. Alyssa and I and Brendan in a room in New York before we shot, a few weeks before we shot. There was little, like the script was there, the writing was there. I think there was like one scene that just we didn't know if we had it, so we like we really worked it and we got in the room and just like started improvising. And some of the best lines came from improv. Some of the biggest laughs came from improv. Yeah. It was very little. It was, you know, the writing was there and the timing of it was all on the page. It was just a matter of like, you know, how big can we go with it and how far can we go without everyone behind the camera cracking up and ruining the tape. So it was a blast.
I will say the one consistently ad-libbed character is Frankie Mermaid. Oh,
yeah. That's what I was going to ask. He seems like that's pretty much off the cuff right there, which is, he was great.
I just approached, he's just my buddy from film school. He's another filmmaker, super talented guy. His name's Fernando. And I just approached him and I was like, Fernando, do you want to like play the pimp in the movie? Because he's got such a look. And he literally was like, Brendan, here's what I'm going to do. My name is Frankie Mermaid. Why am I Frankie Mermaid? Because I'm swimming in bitches. And he like rattled off this biography. And I just literally stood back and was like, I'm just writing down what you just said. And yeah, he was the only one I think that really did improvise all that much. I am open to improvisation. I am definitely not somebody who holds a script
sacred. As long as it fits. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and as long, I feel like every scene in a movie has like the important phrase that has to occur in that scene. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's the heart of the scene. And as long as that gets conveyed, I really don't care how we get there and get out. Because shit changes. You, like, get to set on the day and you're like, oh, wow, this is not the room I saw in my head when I was writing this. And yeah. or like, you know, they're just the energy of the day is weird, or it goes in a better direction than you thought. And you have to be open to that, in my opinion. Because otherwise it's going to be, it's going to come across as, like, stagey and inorganic. So I don't know. I definitely do not hold scripts sacred, except for like the things that I'm like, Greg, that was awesome. The important phrase is, I think God wants a lot of people dead. Just get there. Like, and that's the kind of things that we would do sometimes. But I think Craig's right. I think most of it is actually written, which is odd. There's a lot more improv and animosity, I would say, actually.
Oh, really?
Which is odd because that's a lot more unfun. Yeah. Well, a lot less upright citizens' brigades.
Yeah. Well, one thing we should do, we do have the trailer, so we're going to play the trailer for Velociraptor right now. We urge you
definitely. Velociraptor, you can do that too.
Sorry, Velociraptor. Yeah,
yeah. We've been correcting him for like a week and a half, by the way. Whenever he brings it up, he says, correct. there you go, there's cool. Another one, Pond.
Yeah, Velociraptor, here we go.
Where did all these ninjas come from?
I fought some ninjas last night. Maybe they followed me home.
The Velocipasta. A troubled priest.
How long has it been since your last confession?
Oh, it's been about 2 years.
I do drugs, sell drugs, murder people.
Oh, fuck!
The Velocipasta. A beautiful girl with a dark past.
Last night was amazing.
What are you talking about?
The time you turned into a dinosaur and ate someone.
What?
Dinosaurs.
You guys talk all the time about helping people. This might actually be the first time in your life you can.
By what, killing people?
Yes, bad people.
I got Jesus' hammer in my hand. Hammer in hand to the promised land. Yeah.
That's insane, Doug. God does not want people dead.
Oh, I think God wants a lot of people dead.
Okay, so that was the trailer for Velocipastor. We totally urge you to check it out. And, you know, Velocipastors must drink a lot of coffee to keep up their energy. Right? No.
Horrible segue, by the way.
Well, I try. Deadly Grounds Coffee, you know, we talk about them all the time. Absolutely love them. Just awesome tasting coffee. And so here we go. Here's a commercial for Deadly Grounds.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. There's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds Coffee is my guilty pleasure. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds Coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly.
Use the front door!
Oh, they're so disgusting.
Legit.
Yeah. So, Deadly Grounds Coffee. They go to conventions in a hearse, and they have a big coffin that they store their coffee in. But it's just really good tasting coffee. But Velocipastor.
It's a good tasting movie.
Yes. Well, it's safe to say we all love this movie. You know, we talked about another movie. Actually, I was talking to Wolfie about it. The Greasy Strangler, and how that type of goofy type of movie. And I told you, you know, I get that type of comedy. I really enjoy it. But Greasy Strangler was just too. There was too much like gore, and something threw me off about it.
But there is gore in this movie.
There is,
and it's you know. For the people like that, you know, some people are gore hounds. Like they just love the gore. So when it's there, some of it's hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the over the top, like, you know, like out of like a kung fu movie where it's just like, psst, like spraying out like a hose. But I had a particular scene that I thought was fantastic. And I'm not going to try to ruin it. I'm not going to ruin it for people who haven't seen it, but the whole flashback scene, the war flashback.
Yes.
Scene.
With the wife. with the wife scene,
the wife or girlfriend, whatever. Yeah. Like I just like, and then like him just standing there was I thought was hilarious. I just thought I don't know, like that guy, and the fact that it was a flashback, but it was obviously he's an older gentleman.
Yeah,
who was and he just put a wig on. I'm not gonna lie, that is my favorite sequence of the movie. Like I think it. It works so much better than I thought it was going to. And that's my dad, by the way.
Is it really?
Yeah. The guy playing Father Stewart opposite Doug over there is my dad.
Wow. Oh,
he's not an actor. I cast him in the movie because I assumed he would be bad. No, genuinely, because my thought was like, in all the movies like this that I saw growing up, there was always like one person that you're like, that's a producer. Like, or like, that's the producer's kid or something, where they're like, actors carry themselves a certain way. And they have like a certain cadence to their speech and a certain, they have a craft and they've honed it. And non-actors don't and haven't. And I was like, the only two people in the movie that are professional actors, oh no, wait, there's three. It's Greg playing Doug, Alyssa playing Carol, and Jesse Turretz playing the white ninja, Sam. And everybody else was like friends or family, because I'm like, some of them are gonna suck, and no one did. And it really shocked me.
And then that scene with the white ninja when he's laughing as well. And it reminded me of Tim and Eric, Awesome Show, Great Job, which I don't know if you're a fan of, but it reminded me of that.
Oh, yeah.
Is, that's a plus. That's a plus because I love that. So, yeah. Sorry, Wolfie, I interrupted you.
Well, no, I was going to say, he said that was his favorite segment. My favorite segment of the thing is the montage with the song. I didn't have time to think. And you got this. I keep on. You know, I've said before, I'm old enough to be around that when in the early 70s, you know, there were movies that would like have like that you'd watch a screen and you'd watch on the screen. You'd have like a screen here, a screen here, and a screen here, and you know, there'd be like a three shot. I've always loved that stuff, and then it kind of faded out, you know, and here you got. Like it starts out with like 3 and then it goes to 9 and then it goes to like 27. I'm like, this is so cool. This is so freaking. And then the song was, so, I was like, oh man,
thank you.
It was such a cool thing.
Thank you very much.
The,
that certainly took the longest in editing. I'll tell you that.
No.
There was that. And then there was the one where it was in the car. And you know, with the obviously the projection behind him.
Yeah.
And like so, those like there isn't many other moments in the movie that I can remember of where there was like an actual song playing in the background. But I thought there were great choices of songs as well. I kind of dig this song. I don't know why, but I do.
Yeah, if you guys do, you should buy it. I'm friends with all the bands.
Oh, really?
So that's why I use their music. And it was just I'm super proud of the sex scene in particular, because I remember on that day that we shot it, that was one of the things notably that was not scripted. It was scripted to happen, but the line in the script said something like, "Of course, there's a sex scene in this dinosaur movie. Use your imagination." And then it went on. When I got there on the day, and Greg can probably attest to this, it was like the one day of the film that I'm like, I really didn't have time to think about what the fuck I'm going to do for this. So I hope it comes out well. We're going to do like some weird pans. Make out, guys. And
Greg's like, hey, I get to make out. Improv all over again.
And I just remember I felt uncomfortable that day, not because of the nature of the scene, just because I had no idea what it was going to be. And then I found the song, and then I was in Latvia for a month, and I edited the movie there. And this scene in particular took like a week and a half, and everything else, it was just like mostly just going straight forward because I knew what it was. But I was really very proud of that when I finished it. So thank you.
Yeah, I mean, good job, Greg. You killed it. But I wouldn't have been able to tell that there was no like that thing, because I thought it was a strong scene. I mean, I thought it was done
Thank
well.
Thank you. So. I knew I wanted it to be odd. I think the only thing I knew I wanted from that scene was that it might be the one scene in the movie where I was like, what if we play the sex scene like actually good? Like what if that's the one point in the movie where we like get to be like
out. Like, this is actually a quality shot scene, and
right where I was like, hey, we actually are pretty good filmmakers. And then we get back to the ninja stuff. Because like I said at the beginning of it, I really was worried that people would just think we were incompetent. Which is self-conscious of me, but I was worried about that. So
I mean, there's gonna be people that are just,
yeah,
you know, some well, you have to spoon feed everything to some people. So like,
here's the thing, though. You know, we watch a ton of indie movies, and there's certain indie movies that you could tell, you know, they certainly have that feel. And you know, this movie, watching the whole thing, is just, I didn't get that feel. It was just really well done, and it's just,
it's parody. It's parodying the people that don't have to make a movie, don't know how to make one.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's it was done well enough where it was still very enjoyable. And again, I was completely surprised, like legit. I was surprised awesome. That I liked it as much as I liked it. Is it what you know, like how people can, like, when is it going to be released, like, yeah, for people to mass consume?
That's the real question. Geez, hopefully as soon as possible. I mean, we're talking to some people, and it's really all in that very early, like, it could really be whenever stage. I'm hoping sooner rather than later, but unfortunately for right now, it's the shitty answer, which is we don't know. And I have no idea if that's sooner or later. Mm. Which
would
sucks.
Would you ever think about self-releasing it? I mean,
I would. If just everything falls through and nobody's interested, or we can't reach agreements with the people, if all of that happens, then yeah. Just because, honestly, at the end of the day, I just want people to see it. It's a fun movie, and it's like a fun movie to watch with people. Well, yeah. So
yeah, I need a copy so I can have an Alyssa Brandon double feature, you know.
Exactly.
And then we have to get other stuff that Greg's been in, so that way we can add that to the Greg
collection. Yeah, add it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see your other stuff, because, you know, but I can understand. I mean, it's unfortunate that they typecast you as like the serious guy, but I can see, because you, I think that definitely added to the character in the movie, though, that you can come across very serious, but what's happening is pretty funny. So yeah, that's awesome. I thought you killed it. I thought it was you were great. Yeah.
Yeah, Greg, I rescind that. Greg is my consistently favorite thing about this movie. And I really mean that. I'm not saying that because he's on this conference call. I think that he does it. Like, he manages to do that weird tightrope walk where he's very funny while looking incompetent and actually killing it. And he doesn't have a false moment. So I'm one of the best things that happened to this was that I got to cast Greg. So
nice.
Yeah, one of the things I love about the movie is the fact that there's actually a priest out there that's badass enough to take on ninjas. Chuck Norris didn't even do this in any of his movies from the 70s and 80s, you know?
Yeah.
You gotta get those ninjas in there. There is no greater menace facing the ambiguous city than these ninjas.
So I was thinking as I was watching a movie as well about, because, you filmed in a church, how much of it actually took place in the church and how much of it was like after the fact. In the scene where Frankie Mermaid is doing his confession thing,
yes.
Was that actually done in the church?
No. So the stuff that was in the church was the opening shot of the pews and the altar and everything. That was in church. Doug's room was actually in the church. So everything in there, we redressed that. Our production designer did an amazing job because that was literally just a closet they had. And she killed it the whole movie. She's great. But and she was the only department that came in under budget. So good for her. those two were in the church. Some stuff outside, like the exteriors were. The confessional was in my basement of my real house. And she, once again, our CU, our production designer, a lovely Chinese woman named CU, designed the confessional booth and managed to make it a breakaway thing for Greg's hand to go through. So we just shot it super tight. My cinematographer, Jesse, lit it to match on either side. And we just flipped it. So we had one confessional booth. And so what we would do is we would shoot Greg here, and then we would flip it and we would shoot Frankie Mermaid the same way, lighting it differently, and in post I would just mirror that side. So they're both sitting the same way on the same side of it, and the only time they're actually both on separate sides is when Greg busts through to grab him.
Yeah,
first thing we shot, right?
That was day one.
I was let's do this.
Something
I've always
Go ahead, Wolfie.
He's talking about shooting in a church. I'm like, something I've always wondered is so when you approach the people, it's like, hey, we want to shoot some things in here, want to make a movie. Do you have to go through a big sell to actually get it? And if so, do they say, well, here are the things that you can't do?
You know, what's funny is, I will say that I actually didn't secure the church. Our assistant director did, because he attended that church.
Oh, okay.
And honestly, he's a super exuberant, friendly, likable guy. And I think he just asked him, and they're just like, oh, it's Gabriel. Yeah, use the church. honestly,
tell him what it was
they seemed cool with it.
Prostitute.
they honestly seemed okay with it.
Wow.
Because I think they got the joke, and he managed to sell them the joke that we weren't taking it seriously. And honestly, the one of the things I'm proud of is I don't think it the film isn't making a comment on the church. Right. It's literally just here for fun. And I think a lot of people that are Christian or Catholic get that. And the ones that don't, this wasn't a movie for them anyway. Mm. So actually we had no troubles with that church. They were sweet as hell. The reason we didn't do the confessional in there was because we knew there would be blood effects. And I was just I'm not going to spray blood on their fucking church. So I'm just going to do that in a safer environment where I can spray blood on my floor. And that's fine. But yeah, no, they were super sweet about it. Nicest people.
That's funny. I don't know. I don't even remember what I was going to say, to be honest with you. But so you're still doing the festival circuit with it?
Yeah, we're trying to. excuse me, sorry. We have a couple in America that we just submitted to. I just relocated to Europe, so I'm trying to get it to Italy because I feel like Italy would get it. Because they have like Italian films from the 70s are fucking weird, and I'm just like, I don't know, I feel like they'd be into it. So exactly. So I'm trying to get it down to them, and just around Europe I'm subtitling it right now to try and get it to other people outside. I don't know how many non-English language countries are going to appreciate a movie based on an English language pun, but we'll see. And we do have more American stuff coming up as well. We just are, there's a couple that I'm not 100% sure if we got into yet, so I'm not going to say their names, but we will not be quiet about it.
So until it gets an actual release, it's people should keep their eyes out and see if it's going to be at a convention, or not a convention, but a festival in your area. And exactly. I would definitely,
yeah.
I know that Leo, Wolfie, and I definitely recommend it. I mean, and it's something that I was not going in expecting to enjoy the movie, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. So
yeah,
and
thank you.
I don't know why I didn't expect to enjoy it, but it was, I think it's because we had been kind of commenting on the name for so long. I'm just like, how good can this really be? But I really enjoyed it.
Well, speaking of, I was just going to say, speaking of conventions, have you, we have a ton of horror based conventions up our area. Have you thought about approaching some of those to get some more eyeballs on it?
I actually have. Honestly, after this round of festival submissions comes back, positive or negative, honestly, I was thinking about maybe approaching a couple of cons and just seeing if they were interested. Because once again, I think at this point, it's important to just get more people to see it. Because it's a movie that people are either in for or it was not for them. And that's fine. This isn't a movie for everybody. But I think the more people can see it on a bigger screen in a bigger room, the more fun they will have and the better it will be for the movie. So I am going to probably do that. But we will see. Yeah. It'll probably be a matter of cherry picking which ones we think
might work.
Our coolest. Yeah.
We have some ins, so we may be able to get you some contact info for some of these and stuff.
Yeah.
So
that'd awesome.
Be cool. So what's coming up next for you guys? Greg, we haven't really heard from you that much because I'm sorry, but we've had a lot of other questions. But
I talk way too much. I'm sorry, man.
So what else do you have coming up, and where else can people see your work?
I do some television work in New York. I'm going to be on an episode of CBS's Bull on Tuesday night, February 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern. I've got another short film that we're in the funding stages of right now. Working with a friend of mine, Anthony Marinelli and Allison Parks. It's more of a relationship drama called Books, Beds, and Bats. And I've got another film in post that I shot after Velocipastor called A Little Water, which is about a brother and sister who returned to their family's lake house on the 3-year anniversary of their parents' death. And tension and drama ensues. Like I said, I do a lot of the drama, but I do have some comedic chops, and I've got another web series that's kind of lives on the internet right now where I really get to flex those muscles. So, hopefully Brendan's working on Velocipastor 3, and we'll keep
going. We get some more Velocipastor out there.
The plan is to skip number 2 and let the audience.
Right. I got that right away.
Yeah. Because I want to, if we do another one, I want to be mid-80s with this one. So I want to just be like, whatever, we'll catch you up with what happened in 2. Some shit went down. Don't worry about it. And I think it would be a lot of fun to be like, to reference things that were not shot and you did not see. I think would be fun.
Like do a little flashback where you're like, oh, obviously this happened.
Yeah, I think something like that where it would be like, you remember the rocket moon? And then you just have like 24 seconds of madness. And then it comes back and it's like, yeah, we can't go back. I think that would be a lot of fun. I think it would be a lot of fun to swap the sort of goblin-esque score and just go full John Carpenter synths. I don't know. I think I would have a lot of fun doing an 80s pastiche as opposed to like a ambiguously late 70s thing. But that's if we do another one. I want to. So hopefully this does well.
Yeah, I got the reference right away because that's what Sammy Hagar did with Chickenfoot. They put out Chickenfoot 1 and then they put out Chickenfoot 3 because they wanted to skip over the sophomore album.
Yeah, yeah. They have
the sophomore slump. You know, so
don't tell people the bad one.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. Besides that, I'm all the other ones I have that are potentially next are more in the vein of Animosity. And we'll see. In a dream world, I'd like to alternate and do like a serious one, a not serious one, a serious one. Velocipaster's back. just because there are like two sides. I love both of those things. Like I really do take the shit seriously, and I am interested and love really challenging horror movies. And I'm also like, yo, I love this bullshit dinosaur priest thing. Like, this is great. And they like I said, they really do live equally in my mind.
I think you're doing a lot of people, to be honest with you. I think a lot of horror fans like over the top comedy too. Like,
yeah,
I mean, that's why I like, you know, Leo brought up like possibly getting it into horror conventions. I think that would be a great idea.
Yeah.
Because I think that horror fans do generally enjoy, you know, weirder humor as well. So that'd be cool.
I think that's what's really fun and awesome about this film is that there's a few different audiences, right? That all, and when you get them in the room together in a theater, I mean, it's just kind of infectious, and people laugh at different things. People laugh at the acting, the bad acting, the comedy. But then you have like filmmakers who kind of get what's happening with the camera work and the lighting, and like love that shit. And it is so fun to see when people get it, and it's like how deliberate every little choice was. And then it's kind of like a respect thing that is like, oh, you guys actually know what you're doing, and everything's done on purpose, and it's fucking hilarious. So it's really fun to get people in that. And see it all together, and that's what we're trying to do more of. So
nice. Well, you pulled it off. Velocipaster.
Velocipaster 3, the new flock.
would you try to work in other dinosaur puns? Like
somebody's already pitched me Kyrannosaurus Rex, and I'm like, all right.
That could go poorly though.
I know it could. Yeah. I'm like, it's a good pun, but I don't know yet.
Well, you could also go Tyrannosaurus Rex, because the Torah is the first few books of the Jewish Bible.
It was Torodactyl was the other option. Okay. But that would mean another suit, so I don't know. We'd have to buy another suit.
It's pretty funny.
You get some actor that sounds like Jackie Mason, you know?
Yeah. It's so I would I don't know exactly. Well, I do have an idea of where we go with it, but I'm like,
you don't want to say it is what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah. I'm sort of like, yeah. Part of the fun of the movie is that there's a ninja around every corner. So like Voltaire's in this movie in the middle of it. And yeah, I don't know that. So I think the shock of being like, oh, we're going to Vietnam is like half the fun of it. So I whatever we're going to do in number three, I hope you're surprised.
I'm sure we will be, because I was surprised with this one. So yeah.
Thank you guys.
Like I said, I knew I was in as soon as I saw Alyssa. So, you know, it's like, and your name, it was just one of those things where I'm just kind of like, I know the name, I just don't know why. You know,
yeah. Now you know. And for the people listening and watching, you can go to Amazon and get your copy of Animosity right now. There's only two copies left right now. I'm sure it'll be restocked at some point, but it's also available on Amazon Instant Video as well.
Yeah. So go check it out. Well, it's available through Unearthed Films, which is part of Cam Motion Pictures. So.
And what we'll do to make it easier for everybody, we'll put a bunch of links in the show notes down below or up above, depending on where you're watching us or listening to us, because we have this on a podcast format as well. So to follow Brendan and I'm sorry,
Greg.
this cold is kicking my butt. Definitely check out the show notes and look for VelociPastor. Whenever you hear about it, because this is going to be an awesome movie for you to check out. We absolutely loved it, and I can't wait to see more from you guys. You know, this is
thank you. Follow us on Instagram at the VelociPastor. If you know, we post updates pretty consistently on where we're going next, what we're doing with the film, and you know, all things dinosaurs, ninjas, and horror. So follow us there, and on our Facebook page.
Yeah, that honestly is the best place to get up-to-date information. Like, genuinely, if you want to know what's happening, follow that, because that's where we will announce screenings, special appearances, everything like that. So awesome. Yeah,
nice.
I'm kind of curious what you're saying that you want to dub this in like a bunch of different, or not dub it, but you know, have it done in different languages. Yeah, you know how the Europeans are sometimes when it comes to movies. They're like, okay, well, we don't really have the word for dinosaur, so we'll call it lizard priest, you know, or something like that. I'm kind of curious what the alternate titles are going to be.
Yeah, we have no idea. Title and everything. Yeah,
I have no idea. Well, because I was subtitling it, and I was subtitling Frankie Mermaid, and I was just like, how are they going to translate this? I pimp bitches, I do drugs, sell drugs, murder people. And he's just rattling off all this bullshit. And I'm like, all right, well, hopefully soon everybody will know the Italian for pimp bitches.
I remember what I was going to ask. How much convincing did it take for him to... I'm assuming he shaved the top of his head.
That was his suggestion.
Oh, wow.
It was great. No, I'm telling you, like, he... Frankie Mermaid is the one part of this movie that I'm like, I take little to no credit for. Fernando came up and served that to me on a platter and was just like, I was thinking about shaving my head, like just going around the middle here and making like a really bad receding thing. Are you cool with that? And I'm like, yes. Like, that sounds amazing.
But the thing is he had pretty long hair. So that means like afterwards he would have to cut it all off.
He shaved his whole head. Wow. And I think that was partially... I think he wanted to shave his head and was looking for a... Yes, exactly. But it looks so good. Like, when he takes off his hat the first time and you see, like, this greasy-ass comb-over, I'm like, he killed it.
It makes you wonder, though. I mean, if he's had all this built, is Fernando really Frankie Mermaid? You know? When he's not hanging out with you and, you know, making movies... Is he pimping bitches?
75% chance. 75% chance. Because he's too good.
Yeah, the way you explained it, too, like where he's like, here's what I'm going to do. Like, it sounds like he's had that character in his mind for a long time. Yeah.
I feel like he prepped. And honestly, they all did. The guy who played in the Vietnam War sequence, there's like the soldier who's the buddy of my his father Stewart.
Yeah.
And that was my former roommate, Dave, who's just like a super handsome guy, good actor. His sister acts too. The role was like five lines. And he comes up to me the night before and he's like, "So Brennan, hey, I've been practicing." And I was thinking, like, his character's name was Ali. And he's like, "I was thinking, Ali, like maybe I bought this pack of Lucky Strikes and I did them the certain way because that's what they would do in World War in Vietnam." And like he like had prepped. And so like it was amazing. And so I went up that night and I wrote him the weird monologue he gives. Because I was like, Dave did way too much prep work to literally show up and be like, "Look out, a Viet Cong," and get shot or whatever. Like, I was like, no. We need to give this guy a moment.
Yeah.
And so it's funny because all the non-professional actors and the professional ones, of course, but the I think I was extra impressed with the non-professional actors because they all just came to play in a way that I was not expecting.
That's awesome.
Greg's over there going, "I'm a professional, man."
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. Like I said before, Greg is the best thing about this movie.
I think everyone, just from day one, I met Fernando, who plays Frankie Mermaid, at the bus station where we got picked up to start filming. And our gaffer, was there as well, and we all just kind of like looked at each other and we were like, "Are you guys here for a movie called The Velocipastor?" And we're all like, oh yeah, sweet. Everyone was all in from day one. And like even the people who weren't actors, including Brendan, your dad, your Ji Chang, everyone was just like so committed and so in, and even behind the camera, everyone was all in, and it just made for such a safe environment to play and let it all hang out and like do good work and have a blast. And we did bad work. We did bad work, and we're not taking it that seriously. You know, it was awesome.
I will say, genuinely, it was the most fun I've ever had on a film set.
Yeah. You do realize that out of this movie that there's going to be one band that says, "Guess what? We're now called Frankie Mermaid."
Honestly, there would be no greater honor to me.
Kind of like Fall Out Boy in the Simpsons.
Yeah, they all just shave the top of their heads.
I'd love it if they were like a grungy, like Misfits punk band. And they're like, "What's up? We are Frankie Mermaid."
Why are we Frankie Mermaid?
Because we're swimming in bitches.
Our first single off our first album, "Swimming in Bitches," title album.
Oh, come on. You're pitching a perfect future for me. Just to one day scroll across that on Bandcamp, I would be so happy.
Put him in Fernando's going, "Dude, I'm not getting anything from
you." I will say, hey, future band members of the band Frankie Mermaid, give Fernando residuals. That's all I'm saying. He's earned them.
It just sounds like the perfect band name, Frankie Mermaid.
Oh yeah.
Hi, we're Frankie Mermaid.
We should wrap things up, unless you guys have anything else.
I just really want people to see this. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully you get a chance to see it soon on, you know, physical media or digital media or however, but be on the lookout for it in your local festivals. And I would like to see this on a big screen with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
I think that'd be fun.
Yeah. It's fun. It feels totally different. So it's worth it's honestly like worth the trip if it's near you. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of movies that I've loved over the years, and like I almost take them a different way, you know, when I see it in the theater. Like I remember I saw like the anniversary release of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which is one of my all-time favorite horror movies.
Same.
I went to see it in the theater, and like people were laughing. I'm like, I've never laughed at this movie before, and I'm like, I guess it is kind of funny, you know? Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm like, I never really thought of it that way until now. But yeah, I mean, it's it's a whole different experience.
Yeah.
Go see it.
Yeah. And, you know, when you guys have updates, you know, when like the physical media is coming out, we definitely got to get you guys back and talk more about this and, you know, spread the word so that more people can see this awesome movie.
So thank you so much, guys.
Check out Animosity also. Yeah. I mean,
and we'll put the links to Animosity down below if you want to pick it up on Amazon. And so, Gregory, besides the upcoming episode of Bull, where do you like people following you?
You can follow me at Instagram at Gregory James Co. Or check out my website, www.gregoryjamescohan.com. Yeah, and on Twitter, Gregory James Co. Yeah.
And you said you have like a YouTube kind of series thing that's going on. Where can people find that?
I've got a series that's being released on digital media right now. It's called Space Available. It's about a shady acting studio, and I play a douchey actor, a douchey rich kid trying to be an actor.
And where can people see that?
Check out www.spaceavailablewebseries.com.
Cool.
Nice. And Brendan, where do you like people following you?
on my Twitter, at Brendan Steer. I have an Instagram as well, and I think it's the same thing. basically, if you everything I'm on, I am just my name. So if you just want to find that, I do use Twitter probably most often. So that's probably the place.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wolfman.
You can find me on YouTube, The 13th Wolfman, Twitter at The 13th Wolfman, Tumblr, 13th Wolfman, The Proud, every Sunday on The Dorky, and every Tuesday on Wicked Horror Show, doing Horror One with Kev, and we're done at W, doing the Wicked Horror Reviews. And just check out the stuff I keep on putting up, man. Okay. And check out Animosity. It's such a good movie.
Kevin?
Anuncle on Twitter, Instagram, Anuncle 3 on Snapchat, Dorkening, Wicked Horror Show, doing stuff with Wolfie, and that's about it.
Yeah, and make sure you check out our stuff. Like I said, you know, I say this all the time. We do this 3 times a week, and then you get specials like this. So we're starting to do more independent stuff on Sundays, pre-recorded. This will also go on the audio podcast as well, and also on the Wicked Horror Show page and the Dorkening page. Just check out show notes down below or up above for all that information. Make sure you check out VelociPastor when you hear more about it. It is a must-see. And with that, we'll catch you guys later. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.
I hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. If you want to be part of a future show, you can find us over on YouTube or Facebook, where we broadcast all our episodes multiple times a week live in front of an online audience where you can interact with us and our guests. Our main show, The Dorkening, is produced live on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. The Wicked Horror Show comes at you Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And the Ultimate Video Game Show zooms in on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. This has been a Dorkening Network production powered by New Media Promotions. You can learn more about our network by heading on over to www.thedorkening.com.